Going to read from Psalm 33. Psalm 33. Psalm 33, beginning in verse 1. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea together as an heap. He lays up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. The Lord brings the counsel of the heathen to naught. He makes the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looks from heaven. He beholds all the sons of men. From the place of his inhabitation, he looks upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts alike. He considers all their works. There's no king saved by the multitude of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any of his great strengths by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart shall rejoice in him. Because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in thee. Let's have a word of prayer together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for your love and mercy and grace to us. We thank you that you are ruling over all, that we can look to you and know that you hear and answer our prayers. We thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation that we have in him, for his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, that we might be redeemed from all of our iniquities and have life eternal. We do pray, our Father, this morning on this Memorial Day for our country. We thank you for all those who have given their lives, that we might have freedom, that we might live in this land. And we just thank you and praise you for all the benefits that we have. Lord, it's sometimes we take things for granted. We don't really appreciate many times all the blessings that we do have. Help us, our Father, to truly be thankful and to appreciate all that you have done for us and all those who have given their sacrifice for this great nation. We do pray, our Father, for those who are grieving today. We think of the people out there in Uvalde, Texas, and all these families. We thank you for those who are ministering to them. I read where there was 14 evangelists there working among them, seeking to share the gospel and comfort their hearts. May it be so, our Father. Bless your word as it goes forth. We think of the situation over in Ukraine and all that is going on over there with this war. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you might have mercy on these people and set them free in whatever way possible. We know it's the believers are there seeking to be a witness. We pray that they might have the joy and privilege of winning people to Christ during this time. And we do pray, our Father, for our missionaries. We think of the Kellers. We think of Rob Zapatosky, who was with us recently and working in that area of the world. We pray that you will bless them in all the ministry that they have. And we pray that you'll help us here in this country. We pray for our leaders that they would truly guide us in the right direction. Forgive us of our sins and our shortcomings. Help us, our Father, to walk in fellowship with you and do your will. Oh God, forgive us. Forgive us for our sins. You know what they are, Lord. And we pray that you'll help us. We do pray especially, our Father, that this business of abortion might soon be over. I know it won't be completely over, but I do pray for that we as a nation would not sanction this kind of killing. Lord, have mercy upon us, we pray, and give us wisdom. Help us in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, tomorrow is a Memorial Day, a holiday, official holiday here in the United States that started. Someone was saying that they didn't know exactly how all this happened, so I thought, well, I'll just mention this material here. It was observed on May 30th until 1971, and then they changed it you know, that's what I do, what I get for trying to say something off my schedule here. Anyway, the custom of placing flowers on the graves of the dead began on May 5th, 1866 in Waterloo, New York. And Waterloo has been recognized by Congress as the official birthplace of Memorial Day. In 1868, General John Logan, then president of the Grand Army of the Republic, declared that May 30th would be a day to decorate with flowers the graves of comrades who died in defense of their country during the late rebellion, as a civil war. After World War I, the day was set aside to honor the dead of all American wars, and the custom was extended to pay homage to deceased relatives and friends, both military and civilian. The most solemn ceremony conducted on Memorial Day is the placing of a wreath at the tomb of the unknown soldier located in Arlington National Cemetery. So tomorrow we'll celebrate all of this sacrifice that these military people have given. It's not just a time for weekend pleasure, but it is that as well, right? And I don't think there's anything wrong with your barbecue or grill, but we should always remember the real purpose for this. These men died for our country, and we celebrate that. But as we gather today, gather to worship the Lord, we would do well to remember what our life was like before we trusted Christ as our Savior. We were lost in sin, bound for eternal destruction without any hope. Then somehow we came into contact with Jesus. You have your own particular story, how you came to know the Lord Jesus. Boy, what a memory that brings back to us, huh? Passed from death unto life. We're no longer dead in our sins. We should remember godly parents and grandparents and others who've influenced us in our walk with the Lord. Precious memories that we have. We should remember also the vows and promises that we find in the Word of God, a number of reminders of His faithfulness to us. I have here in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 4. It says, when you vow a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldst not vow, than that thou shouldst vow and not pay. So God holds us accountable for what we promise to him, and we need to make sure that we keep what we vow to him. Because the Lord always keeps his promises. We find in his word a number of reminders. This is what I want to look at this morning. A number of reminders of his faithfulness to us. As we remember Memorial Day, we also remember our God who is ever faithful to show us the way. There's a number of memorials that we find in the scriptures. Let's look first of all in Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9, we see the rainbow. The rainbow. What's its purpose? Genesis 9 and verse 11. And I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. Neither shall there be any more a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said to Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. So God has promised that there'll never be a flood to destroy everything, right? The rainbow serves as a reminder to both God and man. He says he'll remember as well that the Lord will never destroy the world again with a flood. God made a covenant with Noah and with all mankind. I know we used to sing a song back when I was going to school, Rainbow, Rainbow. Every time I see a rainbow shining in the sky above, I remember God's great mercy and his faithfulness and love. When there's a rainbow in the sky, the clouds that pass go smiling by. There's a promise written there of our Father's love and care when there's a rainbow in the sky. But by the same token, we find that God has promised to judge this sinful world by fire. Look with me, if you would, in 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Let's see, I've got it marked. Here it is. And verse 10. It says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found in him in peace, without spot, and blameless, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given to him, has written unto us. So here we find that God is going to destroy this old world by fire. But verse 13 is the one that really gives us some courage, some strength. He says, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. If we are the children of God, if we have Christ as our Savior, then we have something to look forward to, new heavens and a new earth wherein we can live and serve God. We have an eternal home, and we can rejoice in that. The other memorial we have here in Joshua chapter 4. I know I'm skipping all over this morning. But anyway, another memorial. And here in my Bible, it says the two memorials. We find here the people of Israel coming up to the Jordan River. And God gives them instructions. Notice here in verse 6, it says, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then you shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. So God told Joshua to make two memorials, this one here, in the center of the Jordan River, and the other one once they get into the promised land. So the people of Israel had wandered in the wilderness, right, for 40 years, and now they prepare to enter into the promised land that God had given them. So the Lord instructs them to make these memorials, one in the midst of the river, and the other on land inside of Canaan. The river at this time, according to other scriptures, was at flood stage. But God divided the water and let them pass over, just like he had done with the Red Sea, you remember? When it looked like it was hopeless, everything was looking dark, and the Egyptians were right behind them. They thought they were going to be overtaken again. God opened up the sea and allowed them to be set free from their oppressors. So this memorial stood as a reminder to future generations of the power and majesty of God in performing this great miracle and allowing them access to the promised land. Notice verse 20, same chapter. He says, and those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. That's in the promised land. And he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you might fear the Lord your God forever. So we find here the parents were instructed to teach their children about this great event and give the glory to God. We were talking in Sunday school this morning about this young man who murdered those children out there in Texas. What a horrible thing that was. But as Steve pointed out, there was no mention of a father. There was no father to teach him the way he ought to go. Whether that would have made a difference, we don't know. But certainly, this is what God told the fathers here to teach their children, so that God might receive all the glory. You see? It's the hand of the Lord. It's mighty. Fear the Lord forever. So, moving on. How am I doing? Okay. We see the feast of the Passover. Look over in Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. I'm sure you're familiar with the Passover, right? The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months, a new start. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak unto the congregation of Israel, saying, 10th day of the month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next under his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire. And as ye shall let nothing of it remain till the morning, and that which remains until the morning you shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it with haste. It is the Lord's Passover. So here we have the memorial set up that he tells them to do this year after year. And the Jewish people are still keeping the feast of Passover today. This is the last plague that God brought upon Egypt was the death of the firstborn. You remember? Firstborn in each family would die so that Pharaoh would allow the Israelites to leave. But the Jewish people were instructed to kill a lamb and apply the blood to the doorpost and lintel to protect them from the death angel. As a memorial, the Jewish people were instructed to keep this feast year after year, every year, from then on. It speaks to us of God's deliverance and how that it's the blood that atones for the soul, right? And a picture to us of what Jesus did for us on the cross as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The picture here of the Passover, because in fact the last memorial is the Lord's Supper, and this is taken from the Passover and transferred over and given a new meaning. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 24. 11:24. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. See, the Lord's Supper is a memorial. It's in remembrance of what Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary. And it's observed in remembrance of him and all that he represents. His early disciples no doubt remembered his wonderful teachings, his miracles of healing, and the giving of new life. But above all, it speaks of his love and willingness to die in our place, that we might be set free from our sins and have eternal life. So these are the memorials that we find in the scriptures, and as we think about Memorial Day and those who have given their life for our country, we also remember our Lord Jesus, who gave his life for us, died in our place. So, as we see here, the memorials God has given us, the rainbow, its promise of mercy, the memorial at Jordan to keep God's people from forgetting his faithfulness to them, the Passover, depicting the awesome power of God to deliver his people, and the Lord's Supper, remembering all that Jesus means to us and the salvation we have in him. So let's, this Memorial Day, let's make sure we acknowledge and worship the one who has blessed us so greatly and given us so much. Many Americans have turned away from God, unfortunately, and no longer honor and serve him. But we, as believers in our Lord and Savior, continue to exalt and praise his name and worship him alone. He is worthy of all praise and thanksgiving. Have a happy Memorial Day. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Heavenly Father, and the communion and fellowship rest and abide upon each one of us until we meet again. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.